In this series, Do Less, Be More, we want to help you unlock this idea of doing less and being more. How many of you know that activity is not directly connected to productivity? How many of you know we can be very active, but sometimes produce very little? Because really what matters is how you're active, not how active you are. And even in our lives, we can be very active, lots of activity, and yet be producing very little in us, in the way of character, in the way of godliness, in the way of becoming everything that God has desired us to be. How many of you know what's most important is not what we do, but who we are? There will always be plenty to do, and I don't think our difficulty is in activity. The difficulty for us in the human race is not getting lost within the activity, not missing the purpose and what's meant to happen within all of that. And we get into dangerous waters when the person we're becoming can't sustain all that we're doing. Maybe you've been in here and you found yourself in that place before. You're doing so much, but you feel it's like your activity is out here, but the person you want to be is back there. And yet it just keeps moving. Life just keeps moving. It doesn't stop. And you're trying to simultaneously balance who you're becoming with what you're doing. And I would say many of us can find ourselves in so much activity, so much doing, that maybe we reached a place where we felt like we just hit a wall. Maybe we made some moral mistake. Maybe our health declined and the doctor said, you just got to slow down. You've got to rest. Because what we're doing, who we're becoming, can't sustain all that we're doing. Next week on Mother's Day, we're talking about silence, please. And moms, if you're here next Sunday, we're going to give you, really we're going to give it to everybody, but to moms, we're going to give you a ticket to rest. We're going to make sure that everyone around you knows, leave mom alone sometimes, okay? So make sure that you're here, that way you can get the ticket. It's not a physical ticket, so I can't be held responsible when you come next week and you don't get a ticket. Okay. Today, I want to talk to you about the idea of the best rest. The best rest. Because if we can't learn to rest, then no one will ever get our best. We're going to talk about the best rest. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, it's retelling something, a command that God had given in Exodus chapter 20. And here's what it says. It says, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Holy means separate, set apart. As the Lord your God has commanded you, 6 days you will labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Now the term Sabbath, Sabbath is derived from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which comes from the Hebrew verb shavat. And both words mean this. They refer to a stop in the normal routine, to actively and deliberately cease function, to cease striving. Sabbath in the Hebrew is not just a day, it's a verb. You don't have a Sabbath, you Sabbath. You stop working, you stop producing, you stop striving, you stop. And observant Jews still do this religiously today. The rules for Shabbat, for Sabbath, have changed a lot over years as rabbis have added on to it and really told people, well, here's really what you should be doing. And so it seems a bit extreme. And so, for instance, even in a hotel, people that are observing this, observant Jews, they have an elevator that is the Shabbat elevator. And it's basically like getting on an elevator with Buddy the Elf, if you've seen Elf. It stops at every single floor because even for them, the activity of pressing a button is not allowed. They have stopped work. I don't know why they still allow them to walk, but that's another story. And so even on that sense, so it stops at every single floor so they don't even press a button. I know that many of us, you know, have gotten on elevators before and just felt so exhausted at pressing a button. So I'm really glad we put that one into practice. I'm going to start getting in elevators and just being like, yeah, press it. Thank you. Okay. I'm on Shabbat. And just see what they say. And like, what'd you call me? Some additional ways that observant Jews avoid work on the Sabbath are by avoiding business transactions, no PayPal, driving or riding in cars or other vehicles, shopping. It is possible to not shop for one day. Using the tongue, somebody said, thank you, Jesus. But that now we have like, you know, Siri and Alexa. We can be, hey, Alexa, order me whatever. Shopping, using the telephone, writing, erasing, tearing, cooking, baking, kindling a fire. You best get the crock pot ready the night before because you're not cooking on Shabbat. Gardening, grass mowing, somebody said amen. Doing laundry, turning on or off anything that uses electricity, including lights, radios, television, computer, air conditioners, and alarm clocks. I'm just like, put me into cryo sleep on the Sabbath then. As ridiculous as this can sound to us, fill up every moments, what is wrong with me today? And I saw some of my sci-fi friends geek out when I said cryo sleep. Maybe I should just go take a moment and I'll be back. In fact, the Sabbath day of rest goes all the way back to the creation account in Genesis. I don't have it for you on the screen, but in Genesis chapter 2, it says, by the seventh day, God had finished all the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. And then God blessed the seventh day and he made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Does God need to rest? Does God need to rest? The answer is no. God does not need to rest. But what God was doing was showing us a pattern. That later he would tell the people of Israel, this day is holy and you'll rest on it. He was showing us a pattern of work. He said work 7 days, 6 days. Okay, next time it happens, I really will walk off the stage. He said work 6 days. And many of us, maybe we work at our workplace 5 days, but a lot of us then have a day that we're taking care of things around the house or projects or yard work. And so he says work 6 days. Work hard. And we talked about that earlier this year. But then he says, rest. Rest hard. Work hard. Just one day, be intentional about your rest. And of course, we're not bound by Jewish law to set aside the seventh day in this legalistic way. There are some groups out there. I actually got a flyer in the mail this week. I thought it was really strange. Talking about the seventh day and trying to bring back this religious observance of it in a very strict and kind of binding manner. But the principle of the Sabbath cannot be discarded by us. Much like the other Ten Commandments, God instituted them for our good. He instituted them to be a blessing to us. And it is often the case, religion, it gets God's motives backwards. And Jesus made it clear that keeping the Sabbath was never a law meant to break us, but it was a gift to make us healthier spiritually, physically, mentally, to make us more whole, to make us more productive. The Sabbath is a gift. There's a book by a Jewish lady about the Sabbath, and she lists some things that the Sabbath means to her. This is her list, not mine, but I think that we can learn some things from it as an observant Jew. She says, on the Sabbath, I believe in not working for wages. And I started thinking about that for a moment, and I was talking to my wife earlier last week, and I was like, is still doing things, like restful. And I think that there are. I think there are some things that some of us in here enjoy doing that are very restful for us. And so in this idea of not working for wages, because when we're working for wages, what we have is in our mind that we've got ground we've got to make up, we've got things that have to be taken care of, things that have, and in a sense, you find yourself so busy and not disconnected from that part of your life, if that makes sense. But working for something that brings you joy and that you find restful. Not competing for rewards. Because even in some of our sports dealings, our activity, we still can be engaged in this idea that this competition matters for something. And so you find this weight, this anxiety, this stress that comes on you when you're competing for something that really matters versus a competition that can literally just be about joy. Some of you don't have any clue of how to even do that with like a board game. It's still like it's work for you and you think that you're going to win money at the end of it. And you're ready to murder somebody just to win. But it's the idea that maybe you can do something, you can play a game, you can engage in an activity that you can disconnect from it needing to mean something towards your life. But literally it's just there for your enjoyment. Making time to relax and do nothing. Just breathe. Reading, studying religious materials. So for us, our Bibles, devotionals, a book. When I thought about it, I thought about there are just some books that I read. I'm reading a book right now, Andrew Murray, called Divine Healing. And I read it and I just go, you know, it's like this breath of fresh air. It restores me. It speaks to me. It encourages me. And so making time to read and study things that make you go, playing with the family, taking leisurely strolls, you can call it a walk if it makes you feel better. Enjoying meals with friends and family, just having time to eat together and talk together, talking with each other, engaging in meaningful conversation, attending religious services, coming to worship, coming to church, to even many of you in your serving here at church. You build these friendships and you have this activity and this joy that maybe you're doing something, but our hope is that you find a joy in it, in being around people, in serving people. But you attend services, take time for worship and to hear God's word, praying, meditating, thinking. Meditating just means thinking deeply about something. On Sabbath, do what restores you. Do what restores you. Look what Jesus said life would be like in the days before his coming. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus says this, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation." This is this idea of overconsumption, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly, like a trap. He says, be careful. Your hearts are going to be weighed down if you're not careful with the anxieties of life. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I'm sure there are people sitting in here today that the anxieties of life are literally like a weight on you. When I woke up Thursday morning, I think it was, I had so many things on my plate to take care of that I literally in the morning was just sitting there and I felt the weight of anxiety crushing on me. Anyone else ever feel that way? And I'm sitting there just trying to be quiet, trying to give it over to the Lord, trying to then think about the steps necessary to take. Because I don't know if you're anything like me, sometimes when that happens and the anxieties of life just come and rest on you, it feels so heavy that like you don't want to move. But you know nothing's going to change for the better if you don't move. And so we take a moment and we breathe, and then you just begin taking care of these things. But if you can't take time for rest, you're not equipped to deal with the anxieties of life. You're not in the place mentally, physically, and spiritually to be able to engage and handle these matters. The anxieties of life will come. And he says they'll distract us. They'll cause the day that Jesus is coming back for us to come on us unexpectedly. But really the Bible calls us to be waiting, ready. And that's part of what rest does for us. The Sabbath is a step back. It's a step back to remember, a step back to slow down, a step back to contemplate. And if you can't step back from life, you will rarely be prepared for life. If we can't step back from it and look at it and look at ourselves, then we'll be rarely be ready for life and for the activity of life. Sabbath helps us remember that Deuteronomy passage. It continues, and it goes on to say, so it says, the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, your male or female servant, your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals. Everybody's taking a nap. Nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and your female servants may rest as you do. Remember, you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, he says, rest. Remember, you were slaves in Egypt under Pharaoh. Therefore, so because of those, therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Observe the day of rest. And he says, remember, I brought you out of a place with a cruel taskmaster who made you work all the time, and your work didn't earn you anything. You know, us, before we came to know Jesus, we were under a cruel taskmaster. We had an enemy ruling over us that just called us to work and work and work and work, and there was no reward truly for it. But what he says is, I have brought you out of that place, and now I am your God. I am over you. I am leading you. And what you get for following me is I give you the gift of rest. I give you the gift of rest. So Sabbath also helps us to trust. Sabbath helps us to trust. Sabbath enables us to overcome the spirit of pride that we believe anything and everything that comes to us must be a direct result of our striving, our working. Yes, God leads us to work, but we have to remember that God is our source. You know, we kind of like to think of the Sabbath also kind of in the way of the tithe. That we believe that when we honor God with the tithe, with giving 10% of our income, that God can do more with 90% than we can do with 100%, because when we honor him with it, he gets in the mix and he begins to do things and move things and lead us in ways that we live under his blessing. And so we believe that if we follow God in the Sabbath, we think in us, but if I don't work, but if I don't strive, but if I don't make it happen, and that's when our faith comes in. And pretty much every time you walk in faith, there's a measure of fear that you won't have enough, that you won't be able to get it done. But what I think we have to do is we have to believe God's word that if we honor the Sabbath, he will help take care of it. And who knows, you might be in a healthier place that when you get back to work, you could accomplish more than you were ever accomplishing 7 days when you were working. You can do more in the 6 days because God has given you this new vigor to work, and God begins to do things and open doors that he can meet, he can make up the rest of it that you thought you had to do on your own. And that's who we are as people of faith, that when we believe, when we honor God and how he leads us and how he speaks to us, that he's going to get in the mix and he's going to work everything to our good. So Sabbath, it helps us to trust. It helps us to fight that idea that we've got to make it all work by ourselves. Sabbath helps us win. Sabbath helps us win. It's not on the screen for you, but I was thinking about Isaiah chapter 40. In verse 28, it says this, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. It says even youths grow tired, even youths. I think that speaks to that people that aren't youths, people that aren't young are going to grow tired, but he's saying even young people, even people that think they can keep going, that they have limitless energy, that they don't have to worry about rest, he says even the youth are going to grow tired and weary. Young men will stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord, those who hope in the Lord, those who, other translations say, those who wait on the Lord, I think part of that speaks to those who rest in the Lord. Youths will grow tired, young men will stumble and fall, but those who hope, who trust, who rest, who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. It says they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. It is this idea that as we're continuing to walk and then we take time to rest, that we can keep walking, we can keep going. It's this pattern, work, rest, work, rest, work, rest. If you'll rest, I'll give you the strength to keep working. And when you work, I'm going to accomplish more than you ever thought you could accomplish on your own. And then you're going to rest, and I'm going to fill you. And then you're going to go back to work, and you're going to keep moving in my ways. See, God didn't wire us to go 24/7, 365. That's why he instituted the day of rest. And we think that we can just keep going, keep moving. And I'm not like the other person. God didn't design you that way. He designed you to rest. Because here's the thing. Sabbath helps us win because when our bodies and our emotions are tired, we make foolish decisions. When we are exhausted, when we feel at the end of ourselves, that's when we make foolish decisions. That's when we decide to chase things that we think can just fill us, whether it's in another person, whether it's in a substance, whether it's in our work. We're so tired from work, we keep working, and then those that are closest to us don't get the best of us, and we begin to neglect the things that are most important that were put in our hands, our spouse, our children. That we keep running, and then we make foolish decisions. When we get tired, we get depleted, we get exhausted, we no longer think clearly with this long-term, eternal perspective, and we make decisions that are here and now temporary. I don't know about you, but is anyone else at their worst when they're tired? I took a nap yesterday. I don't ever take naps, but I did. And my kids came and woke me up, and I'm not that much better after a nap. I'm just like, I just want to keep sleeping. And so they were on my bed like arguing, and I'm like kind of half in, and I just sat up and I was like, stop it. Don't mess with me after a nap. Because I'm still exhausted. I'm still tired. I don't know about you, but I'm at my worst when I'm tired. I could feel it last night. It was late last night when Charity and I got home. And it's just better sometimes when it is a little quieter, because it's like every time you open your mouth, you feel like you're putting your foot in your mouth because you're just tired. And so I'm just like, I'm just going to stop talking because I'm not doing well. I'm not winning here. Sabbath helps us win. I heard a story, and we're going to close, and we're going to spend some time taking communion together. I heard a story about a pastor who went to Israel. And he was so excited because at one point they were in a field and he saw some sheep and a shepherd. And he's like, oh man, I'm about to learn about the shepherd. God is my shepherd. But he was a little bit frustrated, a little bit let down because the shepherd was just driving the sheep and whipping them and being angry. And he asked the person he was with, he said, hey, I always thought that shepherds led their sheep. He's driving them. And he said, oh, well, that's not the shepherd. That's the butcher. The butcher, our enemy, the one that wants to destroy us, and yet is so good at making us think that he's for us, drives us, pushes us past where we can go because he wants us to be ruined. But the shepherd leads us. The shepherd leads us, which means when he stops, we stop. When he says it's time to rest, we rest. And remember how we began, that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And as we close today, and before we come to take communion together, the picture of Sabbath, the picture of rest, is a glimpse at our eternal rest, when we get to go and be with God. Because many of you may know the scripture, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You may now enter into your master's rest." I want to live a life of resting so that one day I can hear, "Well done. Now you can enter into rest forever." And maybe you're in here today and your first step is beginning to follow the shepherd. You know, part of coming to take communion, the Bible instructs us to examine ourselves, examine our hearts, because communion is meant as a remembrance of the death of Jesus that paid for our sin, and then he was resurrected from the grave. And so really, communion is a benefit for those that are following Jesus, that say, "Yes, Jesus, you died for me. Your body was broken for me so I could be made whole. Your blood was spilt out for me to wash away my sins." That's what this is about. And so I want to give you the opportunity this morning. Maybe what you've heard about this good master that wants to lead you into work, but he also wants to lead you into rest. Maybe today you're saying, "I need that. I want that." I just want to invite everyone to bow their heads for a moment. If you're in here today and that's you, here's all you got to say: "Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I want to follow you. I've been driven for far too long by the one who wants to destroy me, who wants to wear me out, who makes me work and I don't earn anything for it truly. I feel like I'm empty inside. I want to follow the good shepherd who fills me, who makes sure my cup overflows, who will lead me in goodness all the days of my life. Forgive me, Jesus, for going my own way. Today I choose to follow you." And Lord, I pray for everyone else in the room today. I just pray you'd begin to show us, reveal to us maybe the changes that we need to make, the adjustments. And I pray right now for faith in the face of fear, for those that think there's no way I can slow down. I pray you'd remind us there's no way we can't not slow down. And that if we follow you in your ways and honor you, you will honor that. And you'll make up the rest. Lead us into new seasons of rest, so God, we can be at our best. In Jesus' name, amen.